Okay, praise the Lord. I just want to say Shabbat Shalom to everybody, for the people that are new here or people that know us. We are called Kahal Echad BeMashiach, One of Messiah Congregation. And we're doing a study tonight, and it's called, I entitled it, Please Don't Kiss the Calves. I know it's pretty amazing that I'm saying this. For everyone's benefit, we are now in the eighth month of God, and it's called Bul. It's not bull, it's Bul, okay? And if anyone asks you where that's written, you tell them 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 38, okay? And that's how you, that's what you tell people. It's not called Maheshvan or Heshvan. It's called Bul in the Hebrew Bible, okay? So we are now in the eighth month of God. I want to make sure everybody understands that, okay? Praise the Lord. Now, we just finished the, of course, in the seventh month of God, we did the Feast of the Lord. And, of course, you know, we had the seventh month of God, we had the Zichron, Yom Teruah, the memorial of blowing the trumpets. And then we had, 10 days later, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And, of course, 5 days later, we had, for a 8 days, 7 day feast, and the 8th day, we had the Feast of Tabernacles, and we had one great day. Praise the Lord. But I just want to say, this is a study that I put together. It's called, in the Hebrew, Igalim Yishakun, and that's kiss the calves. And I say, please don't kiss the calves, because we see that kissing the calves is sin. And I didn't make that verse up. If you're following along on the link, please click on the banner above and follow along with this study tonight. In the book of Hosea, it says in chapter 13, verse 2, and now they sin more and more and have made them molten images of things of their silver and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Isn't that terrible? This is in the book of Hosea, chapter 13, verse 2, and I know a lot of people don't even read this, but you need to read the whole Word of God. I bet you some people could tell you right now there's some false feast coming up in this month. And, of course, we're going to be talking a little bit about the history of Halloween a little bit later, and we'll go over also maybe some scriptures pertaining to Halloween. We'll do that a little bit later. This is a pagan holiday, of course, and all the people around the country do it and around the United States, but we don't want you to kiss the calves anymore. And I'm going to show you in the book of Hosea, you know, it's a very important message. Even though it does sound a little funny, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 32, and we're going to see what took place in Exodus chapter 32. If you have your Bibles, we're going to see one of the times here they actually replaced the God of the heavens, Elohim, Hashemayim. They replaced him for a calf, and I know that sounds almost hard to believe, but Aaron even did this. Aaron, the brother of Moses. So if you have your Bibles, chapter 32, and this is one calf, and a false feast, this is a sin, everybody. This was a sin, and I'll show you exactly where it says it. Okay? Chapter 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, listen what Aaron says. This is Aaron. Can you believe this? He says, break off the golden earrings. Now listen to where the earrings are, everybody. The earrings are in your wives. The earrings that are in your sons. Your sons had earrings on. And your daughters. And bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. So, in other words, Aaron went out of his way, he got a graving tool, and he actually took time out to make a molten calf. and he's going to have the people kissing the calves, just like Hosea said not to do. And they said, these be thy gods. Listen, what an abomination. The people said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. This is an abomination to God. This is an abomination to God to say that these be the gods that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built, and listen to this, Aaron, the priest of the Lord, when he saw it, he didn't get mad or nothing. He built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow, mahar, is a feast, chag, to the Lord. Isn't that a sin? That is a sin to the ultimate, especially a priest of God doing this. These people knew all about crossing the Red Sea and the mighty power of God, delivering them out of the hand of Pharaoh. Unbelievable. And they rose up early on the morrow, and they offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. The people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the people said unto Moses, go, get thee down. The Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down. For thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. In other words, the halacha, they left the way that I commanded them. It says, they have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it. They have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. What an abomination. Verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that's Yaakov, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and sayest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Praise the Lord. Verse 14, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto the people, and Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony that were in his hand, the tables were written on both their sides. You hear that, everyone? The tables were written on both their sides. Everyone should get that? So there's two tables. How many sides is that? Well, that'll be four sides. Yes. They're written on both their sides. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. It says on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God. The tables were the work of God. And the handwriting was the handwriting of God. God has a handwriting. Praise the Lord. That means he has a hand. Praise the Lord. That means he's anthropomorphic. Even though the rabbis say that he's not anthropomorphic, he has the handwriting of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, this is the noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the noise of them that shout for mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry for bitter, for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing. That's what everybody wants to do. That's all they want to do is sing, do I hear? They want to sing. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, he saw the calf. He saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. He took the calf which they had made, and he burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strewed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Amen. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin? This was sin upon them. Aaron, you brought sin upon them. And Aaron was so scared here, he said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. And they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. And they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Aaron lied. Aaron is lying right here. He didn't just cast it into the fire and it came out a calf. He engraved it. He used with an engraving tool. He lied right here. And when Moses saw the people, this is what Moses did. He saw the people, they were naked. The people were naked. For Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. And Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Amen. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. And Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned. You have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord, and peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. Now I want everyone to hear this. This is important. Moses was trying to make an atonement for their sin. But here's what this is what took place. I want everyone to listen to this. Verse 31. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. There is a book, everybody. There is a book. You don't want to get blotted out of the book. Okay? And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever had sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore, now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angel, amen, my angel shall go before thee. This is the word of the Lord. The Judaism tries to call it Metatron. In the Aramaic, they try to call it the Memra, but it is the word of the Lord. He's going to send his angel to go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf. They kissed the calf.
Which Aaron made.
Isn't that a terrible? That was one calf. Okay? And we're going to go a little further now. Shabbat shalom to everyone in the room. And I don't want you to kiss the calves with any pagan feasts or anything idol. We're going to go now to 1 Kings chapter 12. We went from one calf. Now we're going to go to two calves. Okay? Remember, these things are sin. Verse 1, chapter 12 of 1 Kings. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel was come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, it says that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made your yoke grievous, now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart ye for 3 days. Depart ye for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And Rehoboam consulted with the old men. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go get the elders, the zaken, the elders in the congregation. So he consulted with the old men, and he stood before stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But Rehoboam, of course, is not of the Lord here. He says, he forsook the counsel of the old men. See, you're always supposed to seek counsel, but you're supposed to seek counsel of the people that are older in the Lord. Older, okay? But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men. Yeah, the ones that were grown up with him, that stood before him. Yes, he knew his buddies were going to give him what he wanted. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye that we may answer this people whom have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that speak unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father had chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. That's a bad move. And Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, Come to me the third day, which is a very symbolic number. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young man, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people. For the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. Verse 17. But as for the children of Israel which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones. Isn't that sick? And he died. Therefore King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. And Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men, which were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of the Lord, hallelujah, came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, Speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. They hearkened therefore to the word of the Lord, and returned to depart, according to the word of the Lord. Amen. So the word of the Lord comes forth. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and dwelt therein, and went out from thence, and built Peniel, which means face of God. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the king return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people return again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam the king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam king of Judah. Now listen how wicked this person is. Whereupon the king took counsel, and listen to this, this is Jeroboam, everybody. The king took counsel and made two calves of gold. So he topped what happened, what Aaron did. This guy goes and makes two calves of gold, and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. This is the same exact words that those people that were with Aaron said. The same exact devil, the same exact spirit, the same exact sin. They say the same thing, saying that these are the gods, these calves, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan, which is a sin, of course. And this thing became sin. You hear that? For the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. This is why Dan doesn't show up in the book of Revelations. There's no Dan. Okay? And he made a house of high places. This is Jeroboam who's doing this. He made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. Listen to what Jeroboam did, everybody. Verse 32. Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. Of course, this is pertaining to the Feast of Tabernacles in the seventh month. This is a feast of the Lord. But Jeroboam made his own feast in the eighth month, the month of Bul, and that's this month that we're in right now, on the 15th day. It's very sad. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificed unto the calves. He kissed the calves, he sacrificed unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had... Listen to this, he devised of his own heart. That's how wicked he is. And he ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. This is Jeroboam. And these people are just kissing the calves. And if people came in late, I want to, if we just go back to that verse real quick in Hosea chapter 13 verse 2, and now thy sin, it says they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their owner understanding, all of it, the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. That's Hosea 13:2. These people that make their own gods and make their own feasts. And I'm sure there's a lot of people know there's some pagan feasts coming up right now. You know, this sin that Jeroboam did, you can read about it in many places of the Bible. It's used as a horrible testimony. 2 Kings 10:29, howbeit from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, Jehu departed not from after them, to wit, the golden calves. Here's more calves. Now Jehu is doing the same thing that were in Bethel and that were in Dan. See, these calves and these pagan idols that Jeroboam made, and he put them in Bethel, and he put them in Dan. And it just, when you sin, it goes and goes and goes, and people keep worshiping these idols. 2 Kings 17:16, and they left off the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 11:14. For the Levites left their suburbs and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons, this is Jeroboam and his sons, had cast them off from executing the priest's office. Isn't that sad? Jeroboam got rid of the Levites unto the Lord, and Jeroboam, he ordained him priests. What an abomination in the high places, and for the devils, and for the calves which he had made. 2 Chronicles 13:8. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David? And ye be a great multitude, and there are with you golden calves which Jeroboam made you for gods? Just think, people now worship many different things. You may not have a golden calf, you may not have a silver calf, but you might have something in your life that you put before God. It's very sad, you know, this lesson. And the reason why I brought this up, this Sabbath, is because if you go up to the top of the link, and click on the history of Halloween. I want everyone to click on the history of Halloween. I wanted to go over a little bit this with you, just to show you that in this month, someone has devised of their own heart another pagan feast that's not of the Lord. And when you click on this link, let me know when you're ready. Give me a 1 when you're ready. Who's ever listening, give me a 1 when you're ready, when you click on the link. Okay. Now, this Halloween that's going to be happening, we don't want you to kiss the calves, and we don't want you to honor any feasts that are not of the Lord and do things that are not of God. You know, it says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. 1 Corinthians 10:20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles, that means the nations, sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. So then why would you dress your little children like a werewolf or like a witch? Why would somebody dress their little son like a vampire with blood for this pagan Halloween? Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You're not supposed to have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Thou shalt not learn to do. You're not supposed to learn. It says, lach, lo, tilmad, la'asot. You're not supposed to learn to do, okay? You're not supposed to follow the nations. Deuteronomy 18:9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. You're not supposed to learn from the pagans what to do. You're not supposed to learn from the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination. You're not supposed to have anyone that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. That means a white witch, a pink witch, a purple witch, no witches, okay? Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. So why would you dress your children as an abomination to the Lord? For this pagan kissing the calf Halloween pagan feast that someone has ordained out of their own heart. Why would somebody do that? You know, we have a to'avah. To'avah is an abomination. Anan is an observer of times. Nahash is the serpent and sorcerer, a magician. If anyone doesn't know what necromancy is, that's the practice of supposedly communicating with the spirits of the dead in order to predict the future. That's black magic. It's sorcery. That's a magic, you know, magic qualities, this necromancy. A charmer, chavar, is one who casts spells, an enchanter, magician, okay? We have a yida'ani, is one who practices magic. This is a wizard, a sorcerer, a magician, okay? That's very important for you to know these meanings of these words. You know, you got to be very careful with these, with ghosts and wizards and spirits and talking to the dead. This is why we don't follow the Maccabees. The Maccabees we do not follow, because in the second Maccabees, it talks about praying to the dead. And we don't pray to the dead, okay? Watch out for soothsayers. Anan, that's one who claims to be able to foretell events or predict the future. A seer. These are all an abomination to God. That's why I'm making you see these tonight. And kissing the calves, I think it's enough. These people that we have these testimonies in the scriptures that worship calves, the offering of men's hands, molten images, silver and gold, and ordained feasts of their own heart and their own minds. Watch out for witchcraft. Witchcraft, okay? Of course, everyone should know the Wicca is, and sorcery, right? And it's a magical or irresistible influence, attraction, or charm, the practice of or art of witches, sorcery, enchantment. Some people have intercourse with evil spirits, power, more than natural, irresistible influence. That's what witchcraft is. And the Bible says that stubbornness is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, Exodus chapter 22:18 says, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." So my question is, then why? How could you dress your daughter up to be a witch on this pagan festival that's made up of someone's own heart, to dress your little daughters up as witches, or you dress up as a witch? In the book of Micah chapter 5:12, "I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt no more, there shall be no more soothsayers." 2 Kings 9:22, "And it came to pass, when Jeroboam saw Jehu, that he said, 'Is it peace, Jehu?' And he answered, 'What peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many?" Jehu was wicked, Jezebel is wicked, and their witchcrafts. It's not fun to play with witchcraft. Micah 5:12, he's going to cut off the witchcrafts, okay? Nehemiah 3:4, "Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of thy well-favored harlot, the mystery of witchcrafts, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts." Very important to understand these verses. Yes, this is a different Jehu, yeah. We just read that Jehu continued in all the sins of Jeroboam, and he went to sacrifice unto Dan and Bethel, these calves that Jeroboam made, two calves. Aaron made one calf, and the people proclaimed, "These are the gods that brought you out of the land of Egypt." What an abomination. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are these. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and the such like, of which I told you before," okay, "the such like which I told you before, as I have told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Praise the Lord. Amen. This is very important. We don't want to participate or be guilty by association, by associating with these pagan holidays and these feasts that are made up of people's own consciences and their minds. 1 Samuel 15:23. "For rebellion, if you're rebellious against the word of God, that is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Did you hear that? That's 1 Samuel 15:23. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the sin, is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he had also rejected thee from being king. Yes, very important. We have kashaf. Kashaf. And what this is to whisper a spell. That is to enchant or practice magic, a sorcerer, a witch. Kashaf. Be very careful. These next few days, spirits are leaping around. And very, very, very curious, in the Greek, we have, the word is pronounced pharmakia, which means pharmacy. And pharmacy, believe it or not, is drugs. Guess what? Pharmacy is drugs, right? So we have medication, okay? And it's pharmacy is sorcery, and sorcery is pharmacy, and pharmacy is drugs. So watch out what people put into your drinks. Watch out what people do. Watch out for these Halloween parties. They're not, some of them are dangerous, and they're all an abomination to God. The use of administering drugs, poisoning, sorcery, magical arts, often found in connection with idolatry and fostered by it. Metamorphically, it's descriptions and seductions of idolatry. You know, these words are all through the Bible, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we're so close to the pagan feasts. And there's so many people in the world that don't even understand the Feast of the Lord. In the book of Kings, 2 Kings 9:22, and it came to pass, when Joram saw Jehu, that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many." Manasseh, this is about Manasseh in 2 Chronicles 33:6. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnon, as he observed times and used enchantments. This is Manasseh. And he used witchcrafts. These people all use witchcrafts. And he dealt with familiar spirits and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now here's Assyria in Micah chapter 5, verse 12. This is what the Lord says, "I will cut off the witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands." And I want to let everyone know, you know, if you have a statue in your house of some saint, or you have a picture of God or whatever, or Jesus or something, sooner or later, you're going to be talking to it. Sooner or later, you're going to be looking at it, and you're going to be talking to it, and that's an abomination. Okay? Get rid of these things. God says, "I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard." Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1, the burden of Nineveh, the capital, this is the capital of the ancient kingdom of Assyria. Nehemiah 3, 4. "Because of the multitude of the whoredoms, of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, that selleth nations through the whoredoms, and families through her witchcrafts." This is very important. You know, these sorceries and you know, sorceries and sorcery. This is the use of supernatural power over others through the assistance of spirits. This is witchcraft, divination, by the assistance or supposed assistance of evil spirits, or the power of commanding evil spirits, magic, necromancy, witchcraft, enchantment. You know, these are very an abomination to God. Isaiah 47:9. "But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of the children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection, for the multitude of thy sorceries, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments." So God will pay you back. There is a recompense for this. "Stand now with thy enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth, if so be that thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. And then we see, even after the Tanakh, we go to actually the Gospels and the letters. We see in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 9, there was a certain man called Simon, who before time in the same city used sorcery. Same thing in the Tanakh. He used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he bewitched them with sorceries. So here we have Simon in the book of Acts, chapter 8, another Simon, of course. He's bewitching the people with sorceries. And when they believed, people, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs that were done. Philip was in the Spirit, and God was using him. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Here comes the elder brothers now. Who, when they were come down, they prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaGodesh. For as yet the Holy Ghost was not fallen on none of them. They were only baptized in the name of the Lord Yeshua. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Now Simon saw that through the laying of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands he may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perisheth with you, Simon, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me." So here we have witchcraft and sorcery, even in the book of Acts, way back from the Tanakh, when God commanded these things not to be. So Acts 13:6. "And when they had gone through the isle unto Patmos," this is Paul and everybody, "they found a certain sorcerer." Here they find another sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. This is the son of Yeshua. This is a false prophet, "which was of the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Bar-Abbas, the son of Abbas, and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. And Elymas, the sorcerer, for so was his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, set his eyes on this sorcerer, and said, 'Oh, full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the ways of the Lord?" The right ways of the Lord. Amen. "And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing for the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand." So that was the end of that sorcerer. You know, you got to be careful in the... I want to make sure everybody understands, in the Bible, the word devils and devil is over 100 times in the Bible. And in these new Bibles, they took away the word devil and devils, and they took away evil spirits, and they wrote the word demons. So I want everyone to watch your Bibles, because there's no more devils in it. There's no more evil spirits. Now they turned them into demons, which is a totally different connotation. And we see even in Leviticus 17:7, and they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils. It's devils, okay? Deuteronomy 32:17, they sacrificed unto devils and not to God. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. This is very important. 2 Chronicles 11:15, and he ordained him priests for the high places and for the devils. That was Jeroboam we read earlier. David says, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. Now, believe it or not, there's still people doing this today, sacrificing unto devils. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. We're having a nice reading tonight. And we don't want anyone to kiss the calves. To kiss the calves of Aaron or kiss the calves of Jeroboam or make another feast. And these people nowadays still doing these pagan feasts and even in America. And I want to make sure everybody, look in your Bibles. Make sure the word unclean spirits is there and the word devils. Make sure they didn't replace it with the word demons, because that's what's going on in a lot of Bibles. Unclean spirits is probably at least 21 times. Zechariah, even 13:2 says it. Shabbat Shalom to everyone. And it came to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered, and I will cause the prophet and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Praise the Lord. This term of foul spirits, you can see the term foul spirits is a couple of times. Yeshua, he sees this, the people coming together, and he rebukes the foul spirit. He says, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. That's the word of the Lord. Cast out every devil. Praise the Lord. And you can read it in Mark 9:17. It says, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee many my son, which had a dumb spirit. Matthew 4:24, and his fame went throughout all the Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils. So the word of God has power to cast out devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and Yeshua healed them. Praise the Lord. And then we read in Matthew 17:14. And when they were come to the multitude, they came to him, a certain man, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. My son, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, and sore vexed. Oftentimes he falleth into the fire, and often into the water. And I besought him, I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Yeshua answered and said, O faithless, perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Yeshua rebuked the devil, praise the Lord, and he, the devil, departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. So my question is, Yeshua is casting out devils. Why would you dress your son or your daughter up as a devil for this coming Halloween pagan festival? Why would you dress your son or your daughter as a witch or a necromancer or a warlock? Please don't do this. This is an abomination. Yeshua rebukes the devil, and they come out. Praise the Lord. So I tell people, be careful. Don't kiss the calves. You know, don't kiss the calves. Make sure you know who brought you out of the land of Egypt spiritually. Every one of us were dead in our sins. We were in Egypt in so many words. And God brought us out by the Spirit of God. He brought us out. So don't go back. Don't be like Lot's wife and look back and your heart is back there. You know, some people miss Halloween. Some people miss these evil feasts. But you could read the rest of these verses all the way down on this handout. Matthew 8:16, they were possessed with devils. And you can go to verse 28, they were possessed with devils. There are devils, people. They're unclean spirits, evil spirits lurking around. That's why it's nothing to tamper with, nothing to play with. And I want everyone to understand Don't be like Aaron, who made one calf, and the people worshipped it and were naked before it, and they kissed the calves. The book of Hosea tells you not to kiss the calf. If you go to the book of Hosea, and we read it earlier, do not kiss the calves. And for the people in the room that don't know about Halloween, if anyone does not know about Halloween, do you know where it says kiss the calves? Okay, I could show you where it says kiss the calves. If you go to the book of Hosea, okay, it's in Hosea chapter 13, verse 2. I'll put it on the screen for you, okay? I didn't make this up. I want to make sure no one kisses the calves, okay? And there it is right there. Make sure you don't kiss the calf, everybody. In other words, the pagan calf. Okay? Don't kiss the calves. Make a stand, what I'm trying to say. Make a stand. Make a stand. We're going to read to you now a little bit of the history of Halloween. I'm sure everybody in the room know that... Would anyone like to come to the mic? And on the handout is the history of Halloween. Who is a good reader in the room? I'd like someone to read this so I can take a little bit of a break. Would anyone like to read this? The history of Halloween. Otherwise, I'll just go through it real quick. Okay, I'll do it. The origin of Halloween is a Celtic festival of I don't know how to say the word. It's champagne. I know it's said a different way. And that's the Lord of the Death of Evil Spirits. And this is long before before the Messiah, at least 2,000 years. These are the Druids in Britain and Ireland and Scotland and France and Germany and other Celtic countries. They observe the end of summer by making sacrifices to Samhain. The Celts considered November 1st as being the day of the death. The day of death, everybody. Do you hear that? This is the Celts. They thought November 1st was the day of death. You know, we are in the month of Bool, but these people have a November, of course. And these other people, they call it the day of death because of the leaves were falling. Just because the leaves are changing. It was getting darker and sooner, and temperatures were dropping. They believed Muk Ola, their sun god, was losing strength, and Samhain, Lord of Death, was overpowering him. Further, they believed that on October 31st, Samhain assembled the spirits of all who had died during the previous year. These spirits had been confined to inhabit animal bodies, for the past year as punishment for their evil deeds. This is Halloween, everybody. They were allowed to return to their former homes to visit the lying on the evening on the eve of October 31st. This is when it all happens. The feast of Samhain. Druid priests led the people in diabolical worship ceremonies in which horses, cats, black sheep, oxen, human beings, and others offerings were rounded up. Oh, isn't that terrible? They were stuffed into wicker cages and burned to death. This was done to appease Samhain, and keep spirits from harming them. It is clear that Halloween has always been a celebration of the dead. Death. Does everyone hear that? I mean, whoever lets their children do this, to me, is kissing the calves, and they're like Jeroboam making their own feasts, and they're like Aaron proclaiming a feast. You know, the pilgrim forefathers who knew of Halloween, they knew about the occultic roots. In fact, they banned the celebrating Halloween in America. Listen to this, everybody. Halloween was not celebrated in this country until 1845. Okay? At that time, multiplied thousands of Irish immigrants flooded into New York because of the Irish potato famine of 1845 and 46. They brought with them the old Druid holiday of Halloween. Gradually celebrating this day spread throughout the rest of the country. People love pagan things. That's what it boils down to. So just to make it in a nutshell, Halloween is the Celtic people, the Britons, the Gauls. It's the Scots, the Irish. They observe the end of the summer, sacrifice to Samhain or Samhain. He was the lord of the death and evil spirits that mark the beginning of the Celtic New Year. This has nothing to do with the Bible. This has nothing to do with God. This has nothing to do with the Feast of the Lord. You know, there's a lot of information out there today. Depending on your source material, the Druid Lord of Death and Evil Spirits was called Samhain or Samhana or Samhain or Sam. There's many ways to say it. His holiday was called the Vigil of Samhain or Samhain, pronounced Soween, and that's the way they say it in the Celtic language, I guess. And you probably have seen modern versions of this. And I'm sure everybody knows by now this pagan god was shown as a ghostly skeleton holding a sickle in his hand. He later came to be known as the Grim Reaper. I'm sure everybody knows who the Grim Reaper is, right? This is where it all comes from. And I'm not going to read this whole link to you, but you could read the whole link if you want. It's all about the Druids and their occultic practitioners, witches, and this. Everyone should know by now that they sacrifice. This is a horrible day of Satan. The trick-or-treat has its origins. You could read all about the trick-or-treat. You could read all about the jack-o'-lantern in the World Book Encyclopedia. Okay? Look this up in your encyclopedias if you don't believe me. Look up the jack-o'-lantern. Look up the trick-or-treat. Okay? And make sure you don't fall into occult practices or occult, I would say a spell. Even these costumes that people wear are such an abomination. Beware of all this holiday that's not of the Lord. You can even look in this book called Man, Myths, and Magic, Volume 1, page 68. Okay? These people go from houses to houses dancing, their blood-curdling masks and grotesque costumes. This has all been done all before the people think it's in. Especially all the Christian churches are doing this, which makes me really sick. You know, I don't. Catholics do it too. You could look in the 11th edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, volume 12, page 8,578. It states that Halloween was the Druids' belief that on the eve of this festival, November 1st, the Celtic New Year, Samhain, the Lord of Death, called together the wicked souls, the spirits, that within the past 12 months had been condemned to inhabit the bodies of animals. They think spirits went into animals. Samhain would then send those evil spirits to attack people on the eve before the November 1st celebration. The only way these people could escape was by assuming disguises and looking like evil spirits. That's where costumes come from, everybody. So if you go get your Encyclopedia Britannica, please do that and look it up. Look it up. Look up in your encyclopedias. Look up Bobbing for Apples in the 43 AD. The Roman Empire, this is what they used, and the Celtic people. And it's all pagan. It all comes from pagan roots. The Black Cat. In 1959, the edition of the World Book Encyclopedia on the Halloween was noted that the Druid priests believed that cats were once human beings. Listen to that. Druids believed that cats were once human beings, but were reincarnated as punishment for evil deeds. Because of this, they held cats sacred and involved them in their idol worship of October 31st and November 1st. So if you have a cat, be careful, because these Druids think that they used to be human beings. The Druids, they believe cats were sacred, and that cats had once been changed from human beings and reincarnated. Isn't that sick? And this is all in encyclopedias, everybody. So if you copy this link down, you could look these all up yourself, okay? This is the American Book of Days by George Douglas. You could look up in Christianity Today. You could look up in the Encyclopedia Britannica. Look up all these pagan origins of everything that you do. Find out why you do these things, if you should be doing them. And then you should recognize that you shouldn't be doing them. And what you don't want to do is you don't want to end up like Hosea, the prophet, is warning people. You don't want to end up kissing the calves, okay? You don't want to end up like Aaron had those people. You know, he said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Aaron, he lied. He said that the calf just jumped out of the fire. It did not. He engraved it. And God was so angry with Aaron. And Jeroboam, who made his own feast to the Lord on the eighth month. And we're in the eighth month right now, called Bul in the Bible. We're in the eighth month of Bul. Bul means sort of like a rainy, like rain and rainy season. And if you're having rain, that's why it's called Bul. We're in the eighth month of God. And for anyone who does not know where that is, go to 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 38. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 38. We're in the month of Bul in the Bible. So don't be like Aaron that made his calves and declared a feast. Don't be like Jeroboam who made his own feast to the Lord and got two calves. He put them in Dan and he put them in Bethel. And people still worship them. So be careful. Don't worship and serve the creature more than the Creator who's blessed forever. Amen. You know, this is a small study about witchcraft and necromancy and sorcery. I hope everyone got something out of this. I'm going to stop here. So I say, praise the Lord. I hope that everyone in the room had a good reading. And if you have any questions, I'll open the room. Shabbat shalom to everyone. God bless you. And this we are called One of Messiah Congregation. Kahal Echad B'Mashiach. I say, God bless you, Baruch Hashem, Yeshua. So if you have any questions, please come to the mic. And please, don't kiss the calves. God bless you, and have a wonderful night. Come to the mic, ask a question.